Couple of things. One, for those who have come to us from somewhere else in the world today, that last hymn that we sang together, that Here Is Love hymn, that is proper Welsh, that is. So welcome to Wales. It's an absolutely wonderful hymn which is sung the world over, but it's properly Welsh. And the other thing that actually really struck me when we sang that second song, so where can I go from your spirit and where can I flee from your presence? And I've never gone and lived in another country. And I can't imagine what that's like. But just one thing, if you take nothing else away with you tonight, just know that God's Spirit was with you where you came from. And God's Spirit is here with you now in Swansea. And God's Spirit will be with you wherever you go. It is a fact of your life. And just learn to know and recognise God's Spirit in you. Let's hear some words of Scripture. So this is Jesus. Jesus has just been baptised, and then he has gone for 40 days into the wilderness. Then he comes back and he starts his public ministry. And these are the words from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And yet there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Amen. A leader, when they start off in a job, if you think of a prime minister or a president or something, they give a maiden speech, don't they? So probably the most famous one I could think of was Winston Churchill when he became prime minister near the start of World War II. And I'm not going to try the voice. It wouldn't go well. But, you know, "I have nothing to offer you but blood, sweat and tears," and et cetera, et cetera. Very, very famous speech. We must have had one from the new prime minister a week and a half ago, but it's clearly not made the same impact on me anyway. I got all political this morning, so I won't get political this evening as well. But anyway, a maiden speech is how you kind of define what you're about. And this that we've just heard is Jesus' maiden speech that he said in the synagogue. This is how he defines what he was to do. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and recovery of sight for the blind and freedom for the oppressed." He said, "This is what my ministry is about," he was saying. And why start off with this today? Well, partly because I hope that this service is a place where people can experience some of that same sort of freedom and liberation and healing. That as we come into God's presence and we come to know him, we can feel him speaking to us and speaking, as Sarah prayed earlier, speaking to us at our point of deepest need. And as we find that from God, that is something which is powerfully liberating, because we know and understand that we are loved completely, unconditionally, and all the most unlovely parts of us can be changed in God's sight, can be brought to the light, and can be healed. And so I hope that this place is a place of healing for people. So I want to look at a few of Jesus' words and just reflect on those and think about partly how we sort of take those on in our congregation here, but also what they might mean for you as well. So those first words, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me." It's interesting, Jesus' ministry, Jesus, God from all of time, but became human, emptied himself. And in his ministry, he is reliant on the power of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. For the church, we look to carry on the same ministry as Jesus had when he walked the earth. We carry on that ministry of recovery, of healing, of freedom for people. But we need to do so in the power of the Spirit, with the anointing of God. What does that mean? Because that's one of those sort of Christian words that nobody would actually really understand what it means, anointing. We understand it when perhaps a king or queen is anointed with oil, maybe. But let me tell you a bit what I think it means. So I came to university here nearly 30 years ago. I look so young, but yeah. So in my first term, I spent a lot of time around a friend, Nick. Very coincidentally, I have a friend, Nick, who is also at university with me here tonight, visiting from Germany. Hello. But not that friend, Nick. This friend, Nick, came from Watford, actually. And he told very long stories. He was, you know. I spent loads of time with him in my first term. By the time I got home, after my first term at university, I started speaking in a Watford accent. It was terrible. I think I've largely undone that in the years since. No offence to anyone who's here from Watford. I hope I've undone it in the years since. But spending time with someone, their personality rubs off on you. Okay? If we spend time with God in worship, we spend time in prayer, we spend time reading his word in scripture, his personality, God's personality, rubs off on us. I know one thing for me in my time at university, and for those of you who are students, it's a time to make new habits. It's and just making a habit of trying to start the day with a time with God is a powerful and important habit to get into. Let him rub off on you, the way I picked up a dodgy accent. That message, sort of summed up from Jesus, is that it's a place of freedom. God's kingdom is a place of freedom and healing and good news. It's a place where the outsiders can come in. If you think about it, he talks about he goes through a list of all the people who in that society had very little. Those who were poor, those who were disabled, and to be disabled in that society meant you were out of it. You were probably begging on the street. But no, those were the people who were brought in. And similarly, Jesus' community, if it's being faithful, the church, if it's being faithful to Jesus' ministry, should be about bringing outsiders in. It is lovely tonight to welcome those of you who have come from abroad. But I hope that you find here is a place that you can belong, that you can enjoy life together in community, that this can be a place of belonging. Jesus does kind of suggest, though, and it's suggested all over in the in Luke's Gospel, especially that part of the Bible which we read from, how if you're rich, you can sort of overlook what's going on. Not just rich, you know, in terms of money, but in various different ways. It's very easy to overlook what's going on. Maybe the sort of cares of life or the pleasures and delights of life cause you to overlook what God has for you. There's a phrase, and I wonder if a very old prayer, this, by someone called St. Augustine. And he said these words, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And we firmly believe that in Christ, your heart can find rest. Doesn't mean that all of life is sorted out and everything is fine from that point on. But in Christ, your heart can find rest. Jesus says about recovery of sight for the blind. And in this church, we believe in healing. Does that mean we believe that miracles happen left, right, and centre? No. Okay, no. But do we see God's work in people over time bringing healing? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I was speaking with somebody this week, and she was saying somebody who's been through an awful, awful lot in her life, which is not that long a life. And she was saying, "I really should be a drug addict, or I should be on the streets or something," she said, "but I'm not." And she attributed that to God's presence in her life and God's healing work in her life over a long period of time. Been through dreadful things, but with God's presence has found a real healing. Like I said, it's not sort of two a penny miracles and cures for cancer. That's not generally what we see. Great if it happens, but it's not a common experience. But I think we do see that everyday miracle of God's work, just changing, like I said earlier, those bits of us which are not lovely, making them lovely, bringing them to light, bringing them to healing. And I wonder for you, what would healing mean? What would that look like? What would that look like? It might be a physical thing. It might be something in you which is just feels broken, which feels wrong, which feels unloved. What would healing mean for you? Just want to end with what Jesus found after he spoke those words. He found a lot of opposition. People were saying, "Wow, isn't he amazing?" And then they say, "Oh no, hang on, that's Joseph's son saying that." And it was very strange for them. But if we believe God's Spirit is here with us, then actually that's the potential for doing remarkable things, you know, in and with God. We can be part of that healing work of God, all of us. We can be part of bringing good news of God's love to anyone and everyone. We can be part of something which is awesome, the living out of Jesus' ongoing ministry of healing that he continues to do through in the world, through his people. We can be part of that. And in doing so, we can bring hope to people whose circumstances are often desperate and desperately difficult. We can bring hospitality and a home and welcome and friendship to people who often feel battered by everything that life has thrown at them. And we can do that with God's Spirit in us. I just want us to think, and we'll sort of go into singing another song in a moment. Just perhaps as we do that, just bring to, we'll just sort of do a short prayer in response. We think of God's love for us. We think of the truth of what we said earlier. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? The fact that for all of us, God has been with us from the first day of our lives until now. And that he is with us now in our circumstances now. And I just wonder, what would you want to say to God? And perhaps, well, I'll shut up and let the music play, but just say that, what you want to say to God in the quietness now. Jesus came to bring freedom to the captives. Maybe there's someone who you want to pray for who is struggling greatly with life right now. Maybe people struggling with addictions or struggling in patterns of life that they can't seem to shake free. And maybe that's you. Just take a moment of quiet to pray for that person or to pray for yourself and seek God's help and help and freedom. Lastly, we just offer ourselves to God for him to use in his astonishing enterprise of bringing a broken world back to him, to make it whole again. And we can, if we choose, just offer ourselves to God to be a part of that. Again, just use a little time of quiet to make that prayer, if you wish to God now.